now, as usual on a Thursday, I'm glad to be joined by Muriel Cuddy from Health Screening Plus. Muriel, good morning to you.
Morning, Fran. Welcome back.
Ah, thanks very much indeed, Muriel. And lovely to chat to you again. You're going to talk to us today about self-sabotage and how we're extremely good at sabotaging ourselves, Muriel. Why do we do this?
You know, it's funny. We've had this conversation in the last week or so because a lot of people that we're dealing with lately, the self-sabotage piece is massive. It's like a deep-rooted belief that you don't deserve something, isn't it? And I suppose a few of the words that I'm even going to use, anybody that's listening today is going to say, yeah, that's me. You know, it's like repeated bouts of self-destructive behaviour, like eat the cake, I won't eat the cake, you know, this kind of thing. Yeah. Like you're aware that you're doing the wrong thing, but you still continue to do it. And even if it isn't on the diet side of things, it's on the other side of things. Like, you're aware you're drawn to the wrong type of person, but you still surround yourself with them.
Yeah.
And you initiate conflict and, you know, it's holding grudges against others and over-focusing on things. And it's like that little voice in your head, isn't it?
The monkey voice,
It's the monkey voice, isn't it? Yeah, that, you know, that you point the finger of blame. And while you point the finger of blame, you can never change anything. You know, so it's really hard. And we're finding that's what we're working with more now, say, on the whole diet, lifestyle, trying to change people's lives or whatever, than anything else. It's that biggest enemy of our own.
That's interesting. And are you saying, Muriel, that, you know, unless you deal with this in some fashion, it may be difficult to change your life from a health point of view?
Absolutely, because it's the same. You're engaged in the same behaviours. It's consistent, you know, it's you're overthinking things, you want something really badly, but you're fantasizing, you imagine it, you expect it, you worry about it, the doubt is there, you don't just let it naturally happen, and you continue to do the same things over and over again. And like, for us, we work a lot with CBT, you know, so the cognitive behavior therapy and that. If you can rewire your brain, Fran, you know, it's like a computer. So you've got to, you know, start and go back through the learning process of I deserve, you know, and the affirmations and that kind of thing. It doesn't really happen on its own. You do need help, but it can actually happen. And, you know, it's funny because we spoke about Cliff and, you know, Tesco's and the programs that we're doing or whatever. So people will know of Cliff's story and that. But like, we've been working through this with Cliff in clinic for the last couple of weeks. And like, he's 21 pounds down. His wife is 14 pounds down. He feels like a different person. But he said he actually feels now like he deserves the good things to happen.
Isn't that incredible? Yeah, fantastic.
So it's you've got to journal things. So if you're doing cognitive behaviour therapy, if you're doing it even yourself, it's fantastic. But if you start journaling and start writing things down, you know me, I'm always on about write things down, set your goals, how do you see them through? You know, say the word self-awareness. Do you know your own self-awareness is? Can you tune into your own feelings, your own thoughts, your own actions, and why you do them? And a lot of times when people do that, like, they find out they're not friends themselves. And you have to befriend yourself. You have to come back around to stop comparing yourself to others, you know, and stop worrying about things like,
it's interesting,
you know.
Yeah. And sometimes we allow the voice in our head to take command, like day in, day out, without questioning it, you know.
Yeah, we do. And, you know, one of the quotes in self-sabotage that's there is, we say we want something, but then we go about making sure it doesn't happen. Doesn't that make sense?
Yeah.
You want to.
Why is that, Muriel? Is that because deep down we feel we don't deserve happiness?
Yeah, you know, it's imposter syndrome. And, you know, and I think it's an Irish thing as well, isn't it?
I know.
That imposter syndrome of, I'm never good enough. I'll never be. And, you know, you see it lately. We see a lot lately as in, you've got the degree and then you need the master's and then you need the PhD. You're getting so much of this lately, like, when is enough enough?
Yeah,
when are you actually happy where you are? Do you need all that level of learning? You know, if you're in a job, the people that are happiest in their job, where they are, without trying to climb the ladder to get to the next stage, that's one of the biggest things. And in Ireland, we compare ourselves to others all the time, and we're terrified of failure. And, you know, regression is stronger than failure. So, like, to be afraid of something, to be afraid of failing, isn't a big deal. It's not, you know, if you can get over that, you'll definitely get through life.
It's something that I always figure the Americans have together. They seem to be able to fail. Like, I'm speaking about big business here now, I suppose, Lars. They seem to be able to fail at something and just see it as a learning experience, get up and move on.
That's exactly.
Whereas we see it as a black mark against us that we might never get rid of.
Worry, the small, the country-esque in Ireland, it's my neighbours talking about me, or they're talking about me, you know, if I don't do really well, who's listening, who can see? I think if you're reared in a city, or you're reared, say, like, even outside of Ireland, that same thing isn't there.
Yeah.
Like, the biggest enemy in our world is self-doubt. They say you can achieve extraordinary things, but we self-sabotage our greatness because of fear. And it's fear of, like, who's listening, who can see. And it was always the way when we were growing up, wasn't it?
Yeah.
You came home from school or whatever, God, if so-and-so sees that, or if they know you're doing that. Or, and even what John was talking about, like, my good friends of John listened to the interview earlier on, and it was brilliant. Like, and we've just spoken about these things, you know, it's about that country thing of, you know, who knows who's doing what. And that's the whole cocaine side of things. If somebody knew, you know, that you were doing that, oh, my God, what would they say? Well, it's not if somebody knew. It's like people need to know. And we need to talk about it, even as parents, that if somebody is doing something out of the way, can we actually stand up and be counted and say, listen, they're doing whatever. Is somebody else in the club doing it? You know, but we're terrified of people talking about it.
Yeah, and to tie in with the cocaine thing, I mean, you know, you could trace the origin of that back to low self-esteem and this thing giving you a bit of a boost that at least for a small portion of time, the voice in your head is telling you you're wonderful.
I don't know, do I agree there to on a certain level, Fran. I think the generation that are coming through expect everything fast.
Mm.
They want to feel brilliant all the time.
Right.
They want the world to be easy. Like I have teenagers as well, you know, and I just think we've mollycoddled them. We do so much for them when they're worried and when they're down. And listen to this on something the other day again as well. We make things easy for them. Like we would have lifted them over the gates and done all of that kind of thing. And oh, it's actually a principal I was talking to the other day. And he said to me he had a phone call. He was talking about all the things they have to deal with in school. And he had a phone call from a parent saying that she couldn't get Mary out of bed. And this was the third morning in a row that she wouldn't get up.
Yeah.
Now, he said, there was nothing at all wrong with Mary, except for Mammy had done everything for her all the way through. At this stage now, Mary wouldn't listen to Mammy. She was 14 or 15 and she wouldn't go to school. You know, and like, this is us as parents. How much do we do to make life easy for our kids so that they don't have to worry, or they don't have to whatever? You put them in front of PlayStation, so you don't have to bring them outside. You know, we don't make them eat the dinners we're putting in front of them. We cook something else for them. Now we've gone on to the stage of this cocaine is starting to become readily available. What do we do about it? Do we take a really firm stand as parents and say, listen, if I find you're doing something like that, these are the consequences, just like John said.
Absolutely, and John made that point. And it's tough love, and you've been making that point for a long time, Muriel.
Yeah.
You know, it's
tough love. I firmly believe it. Tough love. I firmly believe it. I think we can pussyfoot around it all we want, and this whole thing of being happy. But like, happiness is not something that's ready made. It comes from our own actions. We know that ourselves as parents. You go through the roller coasters of all the different things that happen every day. But to be happy, you have to be responsible for your own actions, don't you? Do that cohort of teenagers that are coming through and the guys that are into their early 20s, are they responsible for their own actions? Where does it come from? Because I don't think they are, to be honest, Fran. And it's all the time, a lot of them, you know, if we do something out of the way, well, Mammy and Daddy are still there and they'll pick up the pieces.
I know. And what really annoys me is that sometimes then the parents are blamed by these young kids. Oh, you know, they didn't do this and they didn't do that and they weren't this or that. And you know, after getting everything and getting looked
after. They're so fast to blame. And I'm listening to a lot lately. I'm actually doing a piece with the NEPD. We've done a pilot program with the National Association of Principals and Deputies and the strain that they're under and all the bits and pieces. You know, it was last March or April, and it's the conference is on today and we have to do the piece on it. So I was talking to a lot of principals over the last week to see where they're at or whatever. They are finding it so hard to actually, what would you say, a principal is a leader and they're supposed to teach, right? They're not supposed to do counselling and all the other things that they're expected to do. The same goes for teachers. They're just finding kids that are coming through now, even from primary school into secondary school, they're not able to stand up front. They're not able to be accountable. They're not even able to learn, because a certain amount of the learning is done in school with teachers. But where is the other side of it being picked up at home, if that makes sense to you?
I know.
And we get the blame, like the kids are so fast to say to us, well, you know, you didn't do that with me or you didn't do this with me or whatever, you know. But you're literally trying to go outside the box to make life easy for them.
But I think what it stems from is, and you might disagree with me on this, Muriel, is that we're trying to give them what we didn't have in some way. And by doing so, we're not doing them any favours at all.
I agree there. But the other side of it I see as well is, and I see it a lot with parents, parents are very busy. So everything is costing so much more now. So we need a bigger spend. We need more income. So both parents are working and they're working flat out two jobs or whatever. Say years ago, my mother didn't work, but my father worked.
Yeah.
And we were able to live within our means. And we had one car and we had the house and the mortgage and whatever it was. But one income was able to do, you know. So you'd only one shop a week. But now our spend is on so many different things. One wage isn't enough anymore. So you're under savage pressure all week long. So that feeds back then into the kids of trying to keep them happy because you're guilty, you know. Get home on Friday evening at 5 o'clock and you might have seen them all week properly and it's like bedtime to morning time, back into school time.
Yeah.
So this whole world of fast is really escalating, isn't it? And the principal said to me the other day, he feels that the school system with principals and that is going to burst over the next year to 18 months. Isn't that an awful statement from a principal?
My God.
But he said he feels it's going to burst and he feels that the whole area of schools in Ireland is going to go like America, that we'll have the community schools and schools, you know, and the private schools, and there'll be a massive divide between the two. And kids will come out of school not being able to read and write properly. And then you'll have a private side that they'll get everything that they need. And I just found that really scary. And he was very upset about it,
and
to be honest.
Very sad. Very sad indeed as well. To go back to the self-sabotage, if we're to do something about that, do we have to do it from when we get out of bed in the mornings? I mean, is it?
I think it's constant, isn't it? The same behaviours as in you're trying to teach yourself how to eat right and teach yourself to go for the walk and all the bits and pieces. You're fighting with it. It's not to overthink it, but it's literally to continually do small things. So it's not massive changes, Fran. It's literally, you know, the accountability side that I talk about. The accountability side, like being honest with yourself, accepting who you are, and then the courage to actually do something. So that's the accountability. And we talk about accountability a lot because we can't improve ourselves unless we become accountable ourselves. So I had a girl the other day and she said to me, I talked to her every single side of what she needed to do. And then she messaged me and she said, Muriel, I've just eaten half a muffin. What do I do? I smiled and I just said, be accountable. Like, at least you said you've eaten whatever it is, but why are you worried about it? Don't. Just move on. Small little things of being accountable ourselves to say, right, should I do this or shouldn't I? Do I need Muriel behind me all the time to do every single thing? Or can I actually step up? She's given me the tools. She's given me the support.
Well, I presume, Muriel, I mean, if you have a small failure like that, you don't beat yourself up about it. And you say, well, you know, I did that. I enjoyed that. Now I'm going to move on again. And
That's exactly, you know, and I think sometimes, Fran, help is needed and the support is needed. We had another girl and she was actually going through psychotherapy or whatever. The doctors had treated her for everything under the sun. She was 55 and it was actually her boyfriend or her partner that rang me, talked to him for an hour one day in the car. He was so bothered and upset. She had said that she was done with life. She couldn't get through anymore, that she was in such pain. She didn't know where it was coming from. She'd been to everybody under the sun and they all told her that she was mad, that she was going cracked. And I spoke to Lindsay about her last night and Lindsay said, Muriel, she's in a different place. She's 6 weeks down. She's had the support behind the scenes every single day or whatever. And she's coming through. And she is accountable herself for her actions. She just needed a little bit of help to say, listen, you're not going mad. You're not cracked. The support is there or whatever and we can help you. And she's starting to come out the other side. So that's amazing, isn't it?
Isn't that just incredible indeed? Would you bring us up to speed on the people that you're dealing with in Tesco? How are things going there for you?
Yeah, so brilliant. What we're going to do is I am going to have them in next week, Fran.
Yes.
So we'll have them on the phone and we'll have them in, whichever we can do, and they'll have a chat. So I'm going to let them tell you their story and their journey themselves.
Brilliant.
Absolutely flying. Different people, to be honest with you.
Because they impressed everybody so much that day they were in studio, Muriel. You know?
Yeah, I think so. I think that's massive. And over the next few weeks or whatever, we'll do the children's side of things because I've had a lot of people on to me about that one as well.
Yes.
You know, what you can actually do for kids that are like on the same level with the intolerance issues. And, you know, poor kids that are running out to the loo and everything in school and teachers don't want to leave them out because they don't think there's anything wrong and stuff like that. So I think that we do that as well over the next week or two.
Absolutely. If people want to make contact with you, Muriel, what's the best way to do so?
Yeah, so they can give me a shout on 087-415-4998.
All right, we'll have that number here with Emma as well. Always a pleasure, Muriel. Thank you and good morning to you. Bye-bye. And that's Muriel Cuddy there of Health Screening Plus. And that number, once again, is 087-415-4998.
Tip FM's Tip Today with Fran Curry.
In association with Slattery's of Pecan, Tipperary's main Peugeot dealer. Slattery's Garage Pecan, the name you can trust for over 50 years in the Premier County. Slattery'sGarage.ie.